Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Raising Them Ready, Practical Ways to Prepare Your Kids for Life on Their Own, by Jonathan Catherman and Erica Catherman. Narrated by Lisa Larson. Publisher's Note: This audiobook will refer to visual elements included in the print and ebook editions of the book. Introduction. You know what they say. There's a first time for everything. Have you ever noticed we hear these words only when someone is trying to make an uncertain situation feel a little more comfortable? Maybe that's why every loving mother and father has taken a deep breath and whispered to themselves in their most self-assuring tone, "There's a first time for everything," while facing two uncertain parenting firsts. Their first day home alone with a newborn baby, and the first day home alone after their baby is all grown up and sets out on their own. Both days arrive packed with great anticipation and more than a few questions. Looking down at their sleeping child snugly wrapped in a blanket like a baby burrito, the magnitude of their infant's fragility leaves many parents awash in a mix of emotions. One minute, they are overcome with joy, and the next, anxiety. On that first day home alone, it's completely understandable for parents to quietly ask themselves, "Are we really ready for this?" Years later, a similar question creeps into the thoughts of even the most seasoned parents. As they watch their grown child pack up, wave goodbye, and set out on their own, it's totally normal for parents to wonder out loud, "Are they really ready for this?" When the years between their first day home and their first day away go as hoped, we know a remarkable transformation has occurred in the lives of our children. Once small and dependent on their parents for everything, our kids somehow survive the diaper rashes, home haircuts, bike crashes, and puberty to miraculously grow up to become happy, healthy, independent adults. Or so we've hoped. Let's just say it now and get it out in the open early. Being a parent is difficult. Actually, let's be more specific. Being a consistent, patient, engaging, accessible, responsive, rational, present, safe, and loving parent who raises their children to become confident, capable, and kind young adults, now that's difficult. When, by the grace of God, we manage to guide our kids down the road between childhood and adulthood in a way that releases them into the world relatively unscathed, then you'd think we could relax. But we won't, really. Not all the way, that is. Because though our parenting responsibilities fade over time, we'll always be there for our children as they face life's many demands. From personal experience, most parents have a pretty good idea of what's on the long list of demands their kids will face while growing up. Then there's all the new stuff our kids are dealing with that didn't even exist when we were young. This means raising kids right in our rapidly changing world includes raising them ready to take on the types of challenges and threats that we didn't know about when we were their age. So, what does it mean to raise kids ready today? To many parents, ready sounds like a titanic task. Ready for what? Half the time, our kids feel blindsided by stuff they never saw coming. Resilient as we know kids can be, the demands of our world can easily inflict great damage on the wholes of their fragile minds, hearts, spirits, and bodies. From internet trolls and online bullies to a global pandemic and political unrest, social injustice, racial inequity, academic pressure, the burden of stress, boredom, and the always-in-their-face comparison of their life to the perfectly staged #bestlife of online influencers can leave many kids feeling confused and less than important. How do we safely and successfully help our children navigate through the stages of their young lives when we know such great and often damaging forces lie in wait? There is no easy answer to this very real, very difficult parenting predicament. Yet there is one thing we know for certain about raising children who grow into confident, capable, and kind adults. Those who are taught to take care of the seemingly little things in childhood are more prepared to steward the much larger opportunities and responsibilities of adulthood. We became first-time parents in early 2001. We doubled down 3 years later with the addition of a second child to our young, ambitious family. In the two decades since, more than a few things have become crystal clear to us as parents, mostly through trial and error. Here are our top 10 favorite lessons learned in the years between our kids' first day home and their leaving home to launch into life on their own. 10. Potty training a child and a puppy at the same time is extremely poor planning. 9. Kids desperately want to see and be seen, to hear and be heard, to know and be known, and to love and be loved. 8. Family needs to be the kindest people and home the safest place on the planet. 7. There is no accurate calculation for converting the distance between highway rest stops to the maximum volume of a 10-year-old's Gatorade-flooded bladder. 6. The absolute worst measures of a child's value are mirrors, likes, grades, and trophies. 5. Attempting to revive the glory days by living vicariously through our kids is a recipe for disaster. 4. Cell phones and high-speed Wi-Fi access are privileges we share with our children and are not to be confused with their inalienable rights. 3. There is nothing in the world our kids can do to make us love them any less. 2. Not liking what our teenager is doing is not the same as not loving them. 1. Their greatness tomorrow begins with our guidance today. The truth is, we have racked up more well-earned parenting lessons over the years than can possibly be counted. It's probably safest to sum them all up in the understanding that when it comes to learning about parenting, reading books can help, but nothing beats real-life experience. Looking at our own adventures in parenting, we feel the need to say we are not writing this book in hopes of releasing a new set of child-rearing practices or from the need to share our version of perfect parenting. That would be an impossible task because, as we all know, there is no such thing as perfect parents, just real ones. There is also no shortage of books on the topic of raising kids. Our office shelves and side tables are stacked with examples. Familiar cover titles include Raising Children Who Are Kind, Cooperative, Gifted, Whole, Grateful, Strong, Organized, Loving, Smart, Caring, Good, and Better Kids. Authors range from PhDs, presenting 500 pages of peer-reviewed academic research, to the been-there, survived-that alpha parent with a legion of loyal, roaring followers. Today's selection of How to Be a Better Parent publications could pack a brick-and-mortar library shelves as tight as sardines in a can. In our experience, many of these books sit on one of two shelves. Some are so thick and meaty, one would quickly get the feeling they have bitten off more than they can chew. Others are spread so candy shell thin, they struggle to offer parents any actual child-rearing nutritional value. We have chosen to present you with a book that is written for the parents that are doing the best they know how to raise their kids. This includes all types of kids and all types of parents. Thankfully, most people's awareness and understanding of the broad spectrum of kids' learning, behavior, and physical abilities is greater today than ever before. So is our inclusion of the wide-ranging diversity of who is committed to caregiving. To the biological parents, adoptive parents, foster parents, grandparents parenting their kids' kids, aunts and uncles, and anyone who has taken on the role of parenting in a child's life, we are writing for you. You will know how to navigate the chapters to come and how they apply to your unique family, to your kids, no matter the circumstances. Perhaps you are young and excited to learn everything possible about guiding your precious jewel in ways that foster a balance between developmental science and the harmony of the whole child wellness. Or you might be completely exhausted, clinging to what remains of your fragile sanity. You're skimming pages in search of any nugget of practical advice. Our first goal in the chapters to come is to connect with both the fresh-feeling parents and those admittedly frustrated and beyond fatigued. We hope to relate with you in both a personal and scientifically sound way that is easily understood and relevant to you. By simply and practically discussing what raising them ready means in today's hyper-aware, digital-drenched, and mid-21st century life, we believe you will discover some helpful parenting insights you can use today. To do this, we have divided the book into three unique and equally valuable parts. We have titled them Ready, Set, and Go. Part 1. Ready. In Ready, we clarify the multiple aspects of what it means to grow up and become an adult, and why some young people are ready for the challenge, while others feel threatened by the demands. We'll look into why babies really should come with instructions, and what secret to future success your callow, inexperienced, and immature kids share in common with seasoned first responders, professional athletes, and Navy SEALs. Part 2. Set. In Set, we discuss the specific mindsets, skill sets, and tool sets that prepare kids to thrive in the years ahead, rather than struggle to survive through the unavoidable demands of adulting. You'll have a chance to rate your child's skill levels and assess how able they are for their age. And we will provide you with a launch list of over 300 combined skills and tools that your kid will benefit from possessing. You may even get some good ideas for their future birthday, holiday, and graduation gifts. Part 3. Go. In Go, we encourage you with ways to teach your kids how to become independent in phases by making a release plan that includes three stages of letting them go, a little at a time, over time. A plan that values and celebrates your child as they put into practice all you have taught them through instruction, guidance, and counsel. Like you, we too are still practicing how to be better parents. By practicing, we mean we are dedicated to improving the quality of the soft skills and hard decisions required of us daily as parents. Thankfully, no one mistakenly led us to believe that guiding our kids through their young lives would be easy. If they had, we would feel like epic failures. Instead, we know parenting is a healthy mix of good times and bad moments. Some days we get to claim and celebrate small parenting victories. When we discover something that works in our home, we commit to repeating that behavior as often as possible. Other days, we see clearly what isn't working and change our ways. Most of the time, we are daily witnesses to the incremental gains our kids make in developing the character and abilities they need to experience both purpose and success. In a way, we are doing our best to work together today so we can successfully live apart from them tomorrow. We know that for as much as we love our kids and desire for them to remain close, they are not meant to stay home for long. They grow up, mature, and set out to make a life for themselves, on their own. It's our job as parents to prepare them the best we know how. It helps that in addition to being a husband and father, I, Jonathan, am a sociologist. Over the past 3 decades, I've dedicated my career to researching, writing, and consulting on the shifts in generational norms and about life skills and personal character development in youth. The greatest personal and professional blessing in my life is to be best friends and true partners with my wife and co-author of this book, Erica. We met as teenagers, married in our 20s, and raised our family by loving and working together side by side. One of Erica's core beliefs is to adventure on. She keeps our family focused on seeing life as a series of wonderful adventures, each well worth experiencing to the fullest. Beyond being an amazing wife and mother, Erica is an instructor, mentor, and coach who has been an advocate for gender equity in student athletics since before we married in the summer of 1996. We have co-authored multiple best-selling books and countless articles, and been guests on all types of media interviews. And together, we direct an independent foundation that provides mentoring resources to schools, community groups, and family resource services around the world. Both personally and professionally, we are better together. We count it a great privilege to share this book with you. As you hear about the science, experiences, stories, and a few of our own personal opinions about parenting, please remember one thing above all else. Parents are the most significant influence in a child's life. That makes you a very important person. We know you want the best for your kids, for them to grow up to have a better life than your own. We want the same for ours. This means the privilege and responsibility we share as parents include great stewardship of the few years we are given to raise them ready. Adventure On. Jonathan and Erica Catherman. Part 1. Ready. 1. Adulting. Adulting. Noun. The practice of behaving in a way characteristic of a responsible adult, especially the accomplishment of mundane but necessary tasks. It's just a phase. Parents and pediatricians agree. Predicting the exact path and pace kids will take on their journey from childhood to adulthood is a complicated and often imprecise forecast. What begins with 9 months of prenatal nurturing will not end until well after you have watched them pack up and leave your home for a life on their own. In the whirlwind of their early years, your child's physical, mental, emotional, and social growth spins through a series of complex and often confusing developmental stages. From their first word, first step, and first day of school, to their first date, first car, and first place of their own, their brains and bodies are in a near constant state of growth and change. They never are the same person more than a few days in a row. Odd as this may sound, there were times when it felt like our own kids were growing up too slow, especially when a dozen diaper changes a day smelled like 12 too many. Then in what felt like a blink of the eye, they started asking for cell phones, the car keys, and what it costs to rent an off-campus apartment at college. How you feel about the pace and track of your kids' development probably depends on which end of the child-rearing years you stand. Looking ahead or thinking back, we all know they can't stay young forever. Adorable babies become cute kids. Kids grow into weird and at times wonderful teens. And teens eventually graduate into the highly anticipated phase of life that in recent years has become known by the catchy title of adulting. At least that's how the story goes in most families. The chronicles of childhood memories told by boomers and most Gen Xers include stories of how growing up was a build-up to accepting the many responsibilities that came with becoming an adult. Some families went as far as to mark a specific date with a traditional and often formal final step over the threshold between childhood and adulthood. Oh, how things have changed in recent years. Today, many young people see the act of adulting as a series of off-balance, social media-documented, parent-funded, temporary test runs into adulthood. Two steps forward, one step back. No need to rush into things. Whatever your family's expectation is for the exchange of age-related titles and behaviors, it's good to start by answering a critical question about your child. When it comes time for them to leave the nest, how prepared will they really be for life on their own? To start this discussion, we feel it's important to make the distinction between kids who grow up into adults and kids who simply grew up. The difference between the two is night and day, and evident in the desire common to parents. All we want is for our kids to grow up into adults who are happy and healthy, and who will find purpose and success in the world. You have probably said something similar about your child, as any good parent should. Pause for just a minute to take another look at that statement. All we want is for our kids to grow up into adults who are happy and healthy, and who will find purpose and success in the world. Do you see two similar yet separate qualities parents want for our kids? In order for them to enjoy their best life possible, they need to grow up and become adults. Technically speaking, to grow up is the progression between childhood and adulthood that includes reaching full physical and mental maturity. Having accomplished both, hopefully simultaneously, our kids should have a good shot at experiencing all the happiness, health, and reasonable measure of success we think they deserve. Unfortunately, some kids manage to make it all the way through childhood, only to find they grew up unprepared for their unavoidable adult life. That's because not all adults are grown-ups. The distinction is not just a matter of semantics. Those who are grown-ups and those who grew up. The former requires maturing in ways that shed previous childish ways of thinking and behaving. The latter simply celebrated enough birthdays to pass through puberty. They started off in a baby's body, and over the following two decades grew into their physically developed adult self. All it took was time and a lot of groceries. What the latter adults lack is maturity. On the other hand, to become a grown-up, a child needs to develop in ways that are far more than purely physical. True grown-ups have also developed mental maturity. Maturity comes when life lessons shape wisdom and judgment to form the mindsets, skill sets, and tool sets kids need to shed childlike dependencies for the confidence and capabilities of adult-level independence. We have friends our age whose kids, like our own, are all grown. With great anticipation, they are setting out into the world to further their education, begin their careers, and start families of their own. They are fully grown up, mature, independent adults. We also know families whose children grew up but failed to launch. Though their kids have reached physical and legal adulthood, they still act in ways that require others to do for them what they could or should do for themselves. They grew up into physically developed, mentally immature, dependent adults. Can you see the difference? Attributes versus age. Independent versus dependent. Grown up versus grew up. It's just a matter of time. Legally speaking, there is an official-sounding term used to mark the date when a young person is formally considered an adult and granted the legitimate standing of the age. Though exactly where different countries draw their lines on equal status and treatment under the law varies between nations, the same legal language is commonly recognized worldwide. When citing the collection of laws that officially grants an individual lawful control over their decisions, actions, and physical person, the most often used label for the age of formal adulthood is the age of majority. As one might expect, most nations in the world grant the legal age of majority to their youth in celebration of their 18th birthday. Yet there remain a few outliers whose religious and cultural traditions, backed by civil codes, hold open the door to legal adulthood for girls as young as 9 lunar years old, 8 years and 9 months, and to boys who are all of 15 lunar years. The not-so-old age of 15 solar years is good enough for a few other countries, while a half dozen more officially plant the kiss of legal independence on their citizens in celebration of their sweet 16th birthday. On the opposite end of the teen years huddles a baker's dozen count of homelands who shelter their youth until 19, 20, and even 21 years old before allowing their minors to become full majors. Contrary to popular belief, the United States' individual states are not all united on the official age of legal American adulthood. The majority of states, 47 of the 50, agree that fresh-faced minors become legitimate adults on their 18th birthday. This must feel like an unfair privilege to youths in Alabama and Nebraska, as they must wait to blow out 19 candles before receiving full personal autonomy. Tack on 2 more years and Mississippi takes the cake by pushing their minors' rightful bestowment of majority all the way up to 21 years old. To complicate matters even more, there is a second set of age-of standards that we use to measure a person's progress on the road to adulthood. Where the age of majority provides legal recognition of adult status, the age of license provides legal permission to engage in certain acts reserved for age-specific degrees of adulting. The most obvious and often debated are when a person is granted the legal license to drive, vote, get married, and consume alcohol. The usual answers are 16 to drive, 18 to cast a ballot or tie the knot, and 21 to buy booze. That is unless you are driving in one of the 5 states that issue licenses to teens younger, or the 11 states that require motorists to be older than 16. You are voting in a third of the states that allow constituents who are 17 but will be 18 by the general election to cast a ballot in the primaries. You are getting married in one of the states where, with consent of a parent, young couples can tie the knot at the blissful age of 12 to 17 years old. You are drinking in one of the 29 states that allow minors to partake on private property with parental consent. Or in the 6 states where it's okay to down a cold one at home without mom or dad's approval. Or in the 8 states that allow parents to buy their kids around in a bar or restaurant. Or you are tipping one back in the 26 states where minors of all ages can partake for religious purposes, the 16 states that allow underage consumption for medical exemptions, the 11 states where drinking is allowed for educational purposes, or the 5 states where the sauce is suitable for minors who can claim they drink for work-related to government purposes. Beyond the borders of the United States, and depending on your global whereabouts, both the age of majority and the age of license can swing in any given direction. It really hinges on who's currently in power legally, religiously, and culturally. In the end, there's only one state that can offer any level of consistency in measuring legal adulthood within its boundaries: the state of confusion. As most adults want both their proverbial legal cake and the liberty to eat it too, the differences between age of majority and age of license have been the root of countless family quarrels and more than a few court proceedings. Here is just a sampling of opening arguments that kids we have worked with over the years have used on their parents to debate their age-frustrated demands. In my driver's ed class, the teacher said quick reaction time and good eyesight are key to safe driving. If that's actually true, then old people shouldn't be allowed behind the wheel and young people should. For real, this is taxation without representation. If I'm old enough for the government to withhold taxes from my paycheck, I'm old enough to vote on how those tax dollars get spent. It's not fair. Nobody should be allowed to put age restrictions on love. Not my old-fashioned parents, not the church, And definitely not some white-haired lawmaking politicians who don't even know me. So, I'm old enough to serve.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?